Man, please be seated. Thank you, praise team. And Audra, appreciate the music today. Let me give you some things real quickly that Mom would never say. They start today, okay? Mom would never say, how on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Mom would never say, yeah, I used to skip school too a lot. Mom would never say, just leave the lights on. It makes the house look a lot more cheery. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Oh, go ahead, keep the stray dog. I'll be glad to feed it and walk it every day. It'll be fine. Well, if Timmy's mom says it's okay, then it's good enough for me. And by the way, the curfew is just a general time to shoot at. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. And I don't have a tissue. Just use your sleeve. You know how you know you're a mother? You know you're a mom when your feet stick to the kitchen floor and you don't care. When the kids are fighting, you threaten to lock them in a room together and not let them come out until somebody's bleeding. You can never go to the bathroom alone without someone screaming outside the door. Your idea of a good day is making it through without a child leaking bodily fluids on you. Popsicles become a food staple. You're so desperate for adult conversation that you spill your guts to the telemarketer and he calls and he hangs up on you. And you know you're a mom if spit is your number one cleaning agent. Let me give you some definitions of mothers. Sterilize, that's what you do to a baby's pacifier when he's born. The first child, you put it in the water and boil it. And a few childs later, you suck on it and give it to him. Feedback is the inevitable result when your baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots. And the full name of your child is the means of expressing that you are really serious. The top bunk is where you should never put a child wearing Superman pajamas. The two-minute warning is when the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. Six-year-old Angie and her four-year-old brother Joel were sitting together in church, and Joel giggled and sang and talked out loud. Finally, his big sister said, you shouldn't do that. You need to be quiet in church. Who's going to make me be quiet? She said, you see those men in the back of the church? They're hushers. Sunday school teacher was studying the Ten Commandments, and they were ready to discuss the last one, and the teacher asked if anyone could tell her what it was, and Susie raised her hand, stood tall, and quoted, thou shalt not take the covers off thy neighbor's wife. One more, and we're ready to deliver the message. A 10-year-old was under the tutelage of her grandmother and was becoming quite knowledgeable about the Bible. Then one day, she floored her grandmother by asking, which virgin was the mother of Jesus, the Virgin Mary or the King James Virgin? All right, let's look at the priority of motherhood today. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And our text verse says in 14:1 of Proverbs, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. Abraham Lincoln said, no one is poor who has a godly mother. What are the characteristics of wise women? Well, I'd take for a text for that 1 Corinthians 3:11, which says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. She lays the right foundation. A wise woman, a woman who has the right priority, lays the right foundation. 2 Timothy 2:9 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is my first year without my mom being here on earth. She's in heaven. And I always watched my mother when I was particularly a teenager. I could always come into the house and see her praying with my grandmother. They'd sit there in the living room praying and crying and praying and crying, and it made me very uncomfortable. But I knew my mother loved the Lord. She would write out her prayers, and she would often copy passages of Bible verses because she had the right foundation. I want to encourage all of us today. You can't really be a good parent, an effective parent, a capable parent, a successful parent in the eyes of God unless you lay the right foundation. And that right foundation is a relationship with God through His only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to recognize that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again on the third day. And all who come unto God by Him are accepted, forgiven, cleansed from all filthiness of sin, and given perfect standing in the eyes of God. That's a good foundation. Amen? If you've never made that step of faith, today ought to be the day. Come to Christ. He'll receive you. He'll never cast anybody away. Whoever comes to Him, He'll receive with open arms. And all you have to do to qualify to come to Christ is be a needy, helpless, self-confessed sinner. That's an awesome, wonderful invitation, isn't it? A wise mother lays the right foundation. And by the way, in her prayers, the requests that are not priority are the child's possessions, the child's pleasures, the child's popularity. Those things a child can do without. But the main things a child needs mothers to pray for is for the salvation of that child. We need to pray that our children will come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And mothers need to pray for the children that they have, that they've been entrusted with, that they'll be set apart, sanctified for the Lord and for the submission of their children, and that those children would learn to submit to God as well. And mothers need to pray for the stability of their children, to be steadfast in the Word of God and teach them the Scriptures and pray with them and pray for their safety as well. What about the next thing? Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Her priority is the durable material of life, that which endures beyond this life, which endures for all of eternity. I read about a family that was on vacation in the summertime. They drove all the way down into Mexico, and then they drove back up into the States and visited the Grand Canyon. While they were driving, the young boy in the car was looking at license plates and finding plates from every state in the Union. Time they got to the Grand Canyon, he had found every state except for Delaware. So instead of looking at all the wonderful, awe-inspiring sights in the Grand Canyon, all he could look for was a license plate that had Delaware on it. And that was the entirety of his focus on the vacation. So he missed all the blessings that he would have been able to see because he was focused on something inconsequential and insignificant. And finally he found one, and he rejoiced about it like he'd found a hidden treasure, you know. He'd found something that was really, really valuable. But we need to emphasize that which is permanent and valuable for eternity. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Every wise woman builds her house. The foolish plucks it down with her hands. Philip Yancey went on a trip to Africa, and there in Africa he was taking on a guided tour, you know, and went through the various areas of the jungle and happened upon a giraffe taking care of her offspring. It was a brand new baby giraffe, and shortly after the giraffe had birthed its child, its baby giraffe, it began to kick its own offspring. And Yancey was aghast. He couldn't believe that a mother giraffe would do that. And again, the little baby giraffe struggled trying to get up on its wobbly legs that looked kind of like mine, you know. And after a few attempts, the mother kicked it again. Did that three times. Finally, the giraffe was able to get up and run away from its mother's kicking. And he said to his guide, why in the world would a mother giraffe be that cruel to kick her child or baby like that? He said, well, that's not really cruel. That's merciful. That's thoughtful. That's beneficial. Because if that giraffe can't get up and can't run, it's very easy prey for the predators that are all around it here in the jungle. Let's look at a little video clip that'll help us think a little more along the lines of motherhood today.
You know who loves his mommy? This guy. She's great. She changes me, feeds me, everything I need. String cheese is the bomb.com. I can't complain too much. I mean, there are times when it gets to be intrusive. Bathing, forget about it. All up in my grill. A man needs his space. And sometimes she locked all mad for no reason. Yeah, it's 3 a.m, but you don't have to be such a grumpy pants. And always, always talking down to me in that monosyllabic goo-goo gaga language, like I'm a little bit... like a... I guess what it comes down to, Mom, is I need to fly. Let me spread my wings. I believe I can fly. And I promise, someday, I'll give you the world. So anyway, happy Mother's Day, Mom. And if you could bring me my baggie of Cheerios, oh, and that CD I like, you know, with the song about the bus and the wheels, that would be great. Oh, and by the way, these leak-proof diapers, not so much.
Kids, and recognize that they have great potential. I think I told you before about the Jewish mother that was asked about her children. She said, the attorney is 8 and the doctor, he's 4. But I think she believed in her kids. Amen. Avoid parenting extremes. Don't shield them too much. It's cruel to raise a child that's totally dependent upon you. Help them to launch out and don't protect them from the consequences of their misbehavior. Let them experience the consequences so that they can learn from those experiences. And don't supervise them too little. Parent by helicopter. You know, hover around them and make sure you know what's going on in their lives so that you can protect them, but don't do it too much. The hardest part of raising children is teaching them to ride bicycles. A shaky child on a bicycle for the first time needs both support and freedom. And that's something we always need to remember with parenting. They'll need that kind of supervision. Mothers are concerned for their families to be together. They are really concerned, if they're the kind of godly mothers that most of you are, that they have those relationships that are close. I remember when we would visit my family in Pennsylvania, my mother had this huge table made. It was about, I don't know, from here to the wall. And it had benches on either side so that the whole family could come together and we could have a meal together. And every time I came, we would all have to go to Sears and we'd all have to get our pictures taken. And we all complained. And none of us liked it, but I'll tell you, I'm glad I've got those pictures now. Mothers are concerned for the families that they would be together. Lay the right foundation, prioritize what lasts, and then notice Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's addicted to constructive speech. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Proverbs 21:9 says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Proverbs 21:19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. And then Proverbs 7:11, she's loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Instead of all those, be addicted to constructive speech. Open your mouth with wisdom, and in your tongue may there be always that law of kindness. And then she enables her husband to have good success. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Proverbs 31, please. Proverbs 31, she enables her husband to have good success. Proverbs 31, verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Look at verse 23. Her husband, this virtuous woman, this godly woman that engenders honor by her behavior, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The implication is very clear that he's a success because of her. And most of us men could say, if we have any success, it's because of our wives. Amen, guys? We can't get along without the wives of our church, the ladies of our church, and an honest husband will tell you he couldn't get along without the helpmeet that God has blessed him with. So she enables her husband to have good success. And one more thing, she works wisely for the good of her family. Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Mothers, work wisely for the good of your family. Mothers are gratified with the successes of their children, no matter how old they are. And mothers have a strong natural affection toward their children that refuses to give up on them. I like what Mark Twain said, too. He said, remember, when they have a tantrum, don't have one of your own. Good advice. Amen? The Bible has much to say about parenting. Let me give you real quickly a few things the Scripture says. Teach God's truth to your children and lovingly discipline your children because they're immature. They need your guidance. God says so, so I think He knows what's best for our kids. Don't exasperate your children by inconsistency or anger in your discipline. Ephesians 6:4. And teach your children to obey. They won't learn unless you teach them. And your efforts will not be in vain. Kenneth Taylor wrote, to refuse to discipline a child is to refuse a clear demand of God. For a child who doesn't obey both parents will find it much harder to learn to obey God. The one who is a wise parent effectively does herself out of a job as a parent. The silver cord must be broken. It must not be broken too abruptly, but it must be broken. And the wise parent delivers his or her child over to society to be a blessing in the community. If the Lord's building your house, your labor's not in vain. Trust in Him. Amen? And He will bless your efforts. Make sure you've laid the right foundation. Make sure you prioritize what lasts. And be addicted to constructive speech. And God will bless you if you'll do that. Enable your husband to have good success and work wisely for the good of your family. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, we thank You for the Scriptures we've looked at today. We know that each Bible verse is powerful because it's Your Word and it comes from the true and living God with whom we have to do. And today we know that no house is successful unless You're the head of it, unless You are honored in our lives, and unless You're leading our families. And it starts off with the right foundation. And we know other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so today I pray for those moms and dads and young people here who may not have made that first step, spiritual journeying toward You by laying the good foundation. I pray today that they'd make that step and that they'd trust in the true and living God. Their heads still bowed and eyes still closed. Jesus' words to you, if you've not made that step of faith to trust Christ, is come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman hears My voice and opens the door, I'll come in. Will you let Jesus in? He stands as a gentleman outside the door of your heart knocking. And He's loved you and proven that love and died the just one for you as an unjust person. And He offers you eternal life. Will you make that step of faith and trust Him? The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you pray a prayer of faith? Something like this. Dear God in heaven, I come as a sinner in need of a Savior. And I take You, Lord Jesus, as my only hope. Thank You for dying to pay for my sins. I turn from sin and self and trust You alone to save me and cleanse me and give me eternal life. Thank You that You saved my soul right now as I ask You. I believe You. I believe Your word. And I trust You as my personal Savior. with our heads still bowed, if that's the prayer of your heart, right now today, Mother's Day 2010, if you're receiving Jesus, would you be unashamed of the gospel? Would you raise your hand as a testimony and say, Pastor, I've just prayed that prayer to receive Christ. Here's my hand as a testimony. Would you slip it up and put it down? Just slip it up for a moment and then put it down. God bless you. Yes. Someone else? God bless you. Amen. Someone else. Maybe you've been struggling with your family. Maybe you've been struggling with some personal issues. And you've been trying to build that house on your own. I tell you today, you need the Lord. Always we do, but in this generation, it's obvious. It's more evident than ever before, I think. We need the Lord. Perhaps you need to just return to Him. You haven't been close to Him. You haven't been walking with Him. He's just a step away. If you'll come, He'll receive you. Father, bless this time of decision. I thank you for these two who've received Christ as their personal Savior. I pray you give them assurance and confidence in their hearts that you've heard their prayer. Bless every family here today. And we pray for individuals that need to make steps of faith that you lead them and that they'd follow your leadership. In Jesus' name, amen.